It's always a joy to see Bill and Diane Morgan, regardless of the circumstance or whatever, but both Bill and Diane are no strangers to Otago Baptist Church, been here many, many times, and it's always a joy to have them come, especially for Memorial Day and here. And the question is already asked. If you look over here, Brother Bill, we know he's in uniform, we know he's ex-military and all that, but you look at Diane.
She's from Star Trek.
Well, I understand now, Bill, that with that on her eyes, she can tell what you're thinking.
Yes.
Well, instead of just what you say. Anyway. She does that anyway. But this macular degeneration, but she can actually see somewhat, I believe, Diane, with that on it, fairly new device, I believe, in it. So we're glad that they're both here. And just a little side note, I believe y'all are going to Guatemala.
Yes.
With Carlos and the trip, mission trip in June.
Medical trip.
Their daughter, some of you may know, Dr. Chance at Prattville Hospital, that's their daughter. And she's heading up the medical trip, I believe, and they're going to go along with that. Let me just go ahead and introduce Brother Bill just formally. As we've done before, Colonel Bill Morgan retired from the Army Reserve and Alabama National Guard after 30 years of service. He is a veteran of Desert Storm, having served with the 111 Ordnance Group. He served as Director of Missions for the Otago Baptist Association for 26 years, and I might say outstanding and distinguished service to the Lord and to all of our churches during that time. He and his wife Diane have 3 children and 9 grandchildren. So let us all welcome Colonel Bill Morgan and Miss Diane as he represents the men and women of our military and brings the message today.
Jerry and I are both in the same Alabama National Guard, but you notice our uniforms are different. His is the Class A uniform. Of course, Jerry is a whole lot older than I am. And that's the old uniform. This is the current, I guess. I just heard they're changing the uniform again, going back to a World War II type of uniform for the Army. So you see a lot of changes. This uniform is the old dress blue, which has always been around. It was just a formal uniform that was worn for more formal. That's the Class A uniform, they called it, that Jerry's wearing. That was the dress uniform that you wore when you weren't in fatigues or battle dress or something like that. Another military thing before I have a message I'm going to preach in just a second, is take out your bulletins. And I really appreciate the promotion Garner has given me, but for those of you who are military, notice these are not Eagles, these are Oak Leaves. I'm a lieutenant colonel. However, what I want you to write on your bulletin is what you write, how you write my name in the military. I have to spell it out for the newspapers here, and they always get it wrong. Because Lieutenant Colonel with the Army is different than Lieutenant Colonel with the Air Force. You write it differently. However, chaplain, you even write different than that. I am not called colonel. I'm not called lieutenant colonel. I'm called chaplain in the military. When people see me, most people would automatically go and see the rank. The rank really is not important to me, to chaplains. That's the important thing. The cross. When you see the cross, and there are other types of insignia that identify other denominations, but we'll keep it simple. When you see the cross, that's a chaplain. And the address is chaplain. Now, to abbreviate that, it's capital C. This is what you need to write down, capital C, capital H. Then in parentheses, you put L, capital L, capital T, capital C, close parentheses. chaplain, Lieutenant Colonel, and then Bill Morgan, and then whatever else after that. But that is my official how you write chaplain. I served as a chaplain. As I think of this, I have to recommend two movies for you to see. We watched one last night, and I might watch it again this weekend. It's black and white, so don't adjust your TV sets. It's Sergeant York, and I found it on Amazon Movies, Amazon Prime Movies. You can rent it there, or you can buy it there. It's a movie about the true World War I Medal of Honor winner, Alvin York. How many of you have seen that movie? The others need to make that a priority this weekend to try to see that movie. The movie is not about his winning the Medal of Honor. The movie is not about how many Germans he killed and captured. The movie is about a struggle of faith that he had. And it is a great understanding, I believe, of why we have military. And people would ask me, how, as a Christian and a chaplain, are you able to serve in the military? I say, watch Sergeant York. That's the best explanation I can give you. He explains it much more eloquently in that movie. Now, they had and Walter Brennan, for those of you who are old, is the pastor of the church where his mother and family go. And he reminds me a lot of Garner. Just that'll give you enough reason to watch the movie. But it's a great faith movie to watch. Now the next movie is a World War II movie. And this is a very unusual movie because the star of the movie plays himself. Who is it? To Hell and Back. Audie Murphy. The name of the movie is To Hell and Back. And it's the true story of Audie Murphy with Audie Murphy playing himself in the movie, which is very unusual. And it talks about how he doesn't intend to be, he doesn't go out of his way to be a hero. He just steps up when he's in the right place, the right time, or wrong place, the wrong time, and what he does. But those two movies, to me, are must-watches during Memorial Day, because a big part of both of them are how many people gave their lives that they knew during the movie, and how they consider themselves fortunate just to have survived. I want us to look at the scripture today, and you need to get your Bibles or your phones or whatever else. I've gotten to where I bring my phone to church as much as I bring my Bible. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, and go from there. This is the love chapter. And it says, now abide faith, hope, and love. Even back as far as I can remember in my biblical understanding, as a teenager, as a child, I'd say, okay, love, the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 is on love. It's called the love chapter. It's used all different ways. It's used in weddings. It's used in all kinds of ways talking about love. My question was, what about faith and hope? Well, several, a year or so ago, we had some Sunday school lesson. How is she? They're taken care of.
I'm sorry.
let's have a prayer for her.
Oh, right now. That's
Garner, would you lead us in a prayer?
Yeah. Let's just join our hearts together and focus on this, Father. Father, we just thank you for those in our church that sometimes, because of health reasons, we have to be attended to. The Lord, in her favor and a testimony, she was here. With all of her frailties, weaknesses, she made it to Sunday school and was here. And what a testimony as we memorialize those who faithfully served. And we look at Miss Falk and her Christian life and how faithful she was to be here today, even when she got sick and needed professional medical help. We praise you and thank you for her. Thank you to Dr. Carter, those that are attending to her. We do pray that you give her healing, restore her health to her, make her strong again, so she can keep up her testimony for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's one of the things I've learned, I guess, by getting old and slowing down some. You've always got time to pray. Don't tell people you're going to pray for them. Don't do that. Pray for them. Right then, you know, somebody tells you something's going on, when's a good time to pray? Well, I'll pray for you. That's okay. But pray right then with them. Looking at faith, hope, and love, these Sunday school lessons linked something together for me. We're going to go back just a little bit to the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. If you remember, in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 23, Paul shares something with the church that is critical to understanding who we are and why we're here. Verse 23 begins, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Then he skips down, I'm skipping to 28. "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Then in 31, "For if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged." I believe this is the faith part of faith, hope, and love. A body broken for us. Blood shed for us so that we might be justified, just as if I had no sin. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross is atonement for not some of the sin, but all the sin of all the people who invite him to come into their lives. Our faith relationship to Jesus Christ is the beginning of that walk with God that everyone can have. If we just have love and have no faith, it's useless. You can't love your way into heaven. You can't live good enough to get into heaven. You can't be generous enough to get into heaven. You can't be sacrificial enough to get into heaven. It only takes one sin to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Faith is that relationship that we establish with Jesus Christ to say, I need a Savior, and it's Jesus. And we depend on Him, and we trust in Him, and we put our whole dependence upon Him. Our faith in Jesus Christ is very personal. So we focus inward. He says, let a man examine himself. Well, I examine myself and see, I come up short. Every time I come up short, I need Jesus. I need Jesus to walk with me through life. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I need Jesus to help me have a relationship with the Father. I need Jesus to speak for me, to say, when I'm standing before the judgment seat of God, and He says, hey, Bill, I know you. Come on in. Come on down. What a great word. It's not that we know about Jesus. It's that we know Jesus and Jesus knows us because we've committed ourselves to Him. That is the beginning. Now abide faith, a personal, life-changing relationship to Jesus Christ. Hope. Look with me in chapter 12. And I'm going to jump around here in chapter 12 as we look at this, because we're going to kind of go backwards, if that's all right, simply because that's the way my mind was thinking. We see a gifted body. We see the church of Jesus Christ in faith. It's self-examination. In faith, it's personal. In hope, it's community. In hope, it's other people. I look at people going through crisis. I saw a man today. I already knew him. I saw a man today at church. His wife's funeral is this afternoon. She's been suffering a long illness, Larry Devers. And his wife's funeral is today at 3 o'clock. Larry was so faithful in visiting her and caring for her. And on our way here, Diane said, I'm surprised to see Larry at church. I said, I really wasn't. Because Larry's free now. Venora is free now. He knows her relationship with Jesus Christ. And he needed the hope of his friends and family in Christ Jesus. I don't see how people face death without the hope of faith, without the hope of a Christian family, without the hope of brothers and sisters in Christ who come and walk alongside them and pray for them and care for them and nurture them. Our faith moves to something bigger than we are. Church, we are sanctified. We're justified, faith. We're sanctified, hope. Because it's our ongoing process of discipleship where God is making me into what He wants me to be. I'm not there yet. Brother Garner's not there yet. None of us are there yet. But God working in us is moving us in His direction. Through the good times, through the bad times, through the war times, through the crisis times, He's moving us in that direction. In verse 18, we see we fit. God has set the members of the body, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. And they who were all members, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And then He talks about the eye can't say to the foot, the hand can't say to the mouth, I'm more important than you, because the body fit together works. It works. It's God in action as we serve Him, as we follow Him. The reason I know it works, looks what it says in verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. God gives us a gift. He gives us a great gift of salvation. But He gives us a hope gift of a spiritual gift. And the hope gift of a spiritual gift is what links us together as a body as we appreciate the spiritual gifts of other people and we use our spiritual gifts. I've got to tell you, folks, people have asked me, man, you're doing good getting in your uniform. They make clothing sales makes better uniforms, I found out. so you don't have to worry about that. But as we think about that, my favorite spiritual gift that I don't have is hospitality. I love, and especially the ladies that have the gift of hospitality, that are great cooks and demonstrate it. And are always fixing. You know, if somebody has a crisis, what do? They take food over. A great hope gift. A great hope gift. You look at all the other spiritual gifts, and their list of spiritual gifts you can find throughout Scripture. There are about 21 of them listed total. But you don't find one single listing of the spiritual gifts. Why is that? Because I think God gives a church whatever spiritual gifts they need. And it might not be one that's listed. The gift of encouragement, the gift of hospitality, the gift of discernment. All kinds of spiritual gifts that God gives the church to be what He wants to be. Now, is the hope just for us? You see, this spiritual giftedness gives us the hope, gives us the ability. It's to help other people too. Look, if you will, in verse 26. If any one member suffers, all the members suffer. If any one member is honored, all the members are honored and rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. God wants us to use our giftedness to walk with people in crisis. We do that. I need to do a little advertisement right here. Is that okay if I have an advertisement? We are approaching hurricane season. We've already been, I don't think there's a time in Alabama when we're not in tornado season. They can happen anytime. But we're approaching hurricane season. We have an army that brings hope who wear yellow shirts and are caring for people called Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. We have a state missions offering, Myers Mallory missions offering, and a part of that goes to disaster relief. That's the advertisement. That's the commercial. If you haven't given, it's not too late. You can give any time of the year to that Myers Mallory state missions offering. We haven't had it long. A lot of people don't even know about it, but it's a great way to participate. It's also a great way to get involved. If you want to be involved in a disaster, personal disaster or big disaster, you can be a part of the problem or you can be a part of the hope. Being a part of the problem means that you show up and say, I want the help, and you don't have a plan. I had people that would, when we had the tornadoes in Prattville, I was the VOAD, and I'm not going to get into all that, but I would have people come up to me and say all the time, I want to help. I say, okay, here's what we need. We need people who can climb up on roofs and put blue tarps on the roof. Oh, I can't do that. Well, I said, I'm sorry, I don't have time to guess what you can do. Decide what you can do and come back and tell me. Now, that sounds kind of harsh, but I was tired. Let God decide what you can do and use your spiritual giftedness to bring hope to the body of Christ, but also to bring hope for your community. One of the things I heard today is an example of that. What's the greatest evangelism tool we have as Southern Baptists? VBS, Vacation Bible School. You serving in Vacation Bible School is giving hope not just to the church, but to a community and to kids who need to know somebody cares about them. Somebody will listen to them. Somebody will take some time with them. Somebody will play with them. And somebody will teach them about the love of God and about Scripture. It's amazing how God can bring us together in hope. Faith, hope, and love abide. But look what he says in verse 31 of chapter 12. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. Combining faith, personal relationship with Christ, justification, hope, community, giftedness, working together, serving together with love. What is love? God is love. Love is glorifying God. Love is pointing people to Jesus Christ. Love is a recognition that we're not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Look what it says in chapter 13, verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. God's love, shown through us, is a witness to Jesus Christ. As we love each other, we begin to see what Memorial Day is all about. It's honoring those who loved enough to give their lives for our freedom. It's taking a day aside to honor those who have served in our military. It's taking a time to focus our attention and to love those that God loves. Our purpose in life as Christians is to point to God through Jesus Christ. Our purpose is to honor and glorify God. And we do that best by loving. By loving. I taught Sunday school this morning at First Baptist Primary. We're in the Gospel Project lessons, and it was on Ruth. Any of you familiar with Ruth? Ruth is an illustration of love. Naomi loved enough that her daughter-in-law was willing to forsake everything and go with her. Ruth loved enough that she was able to leave everything behind and take care of a mother-in-law. Any of you have mother-in-laws that you would desert everything to take care of? Love a mother-in-law. Boaz was willing to take a foreigner, a Moabite, when God clearly said, don't take foreigners into your house. But Ruth had changed. She might have been a Moabitist, but she was a child of God. because she says, I want your God, Naomi. Through love, Naomi pointed Ruth to God. And that's where she was. So when we look at the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see Ruth's son, Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David. 14 generations. We see how God works. Love is accomplishing God's purpose. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He also said, love your neighbor as yourself. Who's my neighbor? They ask. The one who needs your love. Love is our outreach. Faith is our person. The body, the hope, is our community of faith. But love compels us to go. We can't stay here if we have love for humanity. Love compels us to go and share with others. I'm going to go to chapter 14 now, but I'm about done. Verse 1, pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. What's that talking about? What is prophesying here? Prophesy is telling the word of God, letting God's word speak to the situations of life. Prophecy is love in action, where we share God with other people. Pursue love. Now, y'all know the story. It's old. It's cliche almost. What I told Diane, I said, Diane, I love you. My love for you is higher than the highest mountain. My love for you is deeper than the deepest ocean. I would fight battles to be in your presence, but it might sprinkle today and I can't come see you. Isn't our love just like that? We make all kinds of excuses for not doing what God leads us to do through love. I just got two words for you. Just love. And it's action. It's not a feeling. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your word. It's so rich. It's so powerful. Help us that we might each examine ourselves and make sure we have that right faith relationship to you, that we've truly invited you into our lives to be Savior and Lord of our lives. Help us, God, that as we do that examination, we might look at our relationship to you, even as we know you and how we're using the giftedness you've given us. Because, God, your scripture tells us, as we come to Christ in salvation, we have that great gift of salvation, but you also give us a spiritual gift for the service of the body, for the building up of the kingdom of God, to give hope in a hopeless world. Help us, God, that we might develop, use, continue to seek more of the spiritual giftedness you want to give us, so that we can reach out beyond ourselves to help others. And then God, please let us love. Let us love one another as you have loved us. Thank you, God, for this congregation called Otagoville Baptist Church. May they continue to live in faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Where are you? Faith, hope, love. There are areas that each one of us need to grow in all three of those. In our personal relationship to God, in our faithfulness to the body and in our ministry to the world. Let God speak to you. And if he leads you to make a public decision, Brother Garner's going to be standing at the front for you to make. It's just as we are. Just, we don't have to change anything. Just as I am. Let's stand together and sing. The number's 435. Let's sing together. Brother Garner,
serve you.